Tanya for the 13th of Iyar is on page 713 in Perek Mem Ches, chapter 48, in Lessons in Tanya. The Alter Rebbe is describing the tzimtzum that is necessary in order for the world to exist. And he says that the amount of godliness and light that comes into the world, into the lower world, is finite, and therefore has absolutely no significance and no relevance at all in comparison to the infinite light which is put aside in order to enable the world to be finite. V'koch ha-mamesh hi-bechinas ha-orem u-et-ezu ha-mislabeshes be'ilu mezelyenim v'tachteinim v'hashpia behem v'hachayesa. The same is true of the insignificance of the light that is clothed within the worlds, within creation, in order to give them life. Compared to the light that is hidden and concealed, which is infinite, the finite light used in creating the worlds is totally insignificant compared to it. And this infinite light does not clothe itself and does not influence the world. Gili l'hachayesam in a revealed way in order to give them life. Elo makif aleihem el mailo, rather it surrounds them from above. V'nikra seiviv kol almin, and this life, this energy is called seiviv kol almin. It encompasses, it surrounds the world. Now the idea here is that there are two influences, there are two forms of godliness that influence the world. One is finite. It influences the world from within. It is clothed within creation and thereby influences creation. And then there is the infinite light that is encompassing, that surrounds the world and influences it from a distance. One is revealed to the world. The finite light is revealed, and the infinite light is not. The idea here being that although at first glance it would seem that there is no godliness at all revealed to the world, the word itself, olam, means concealment, because godliness in creation is concealed, and not even a little bit of godliness is revealed. That's at first glance. But when you think about it, the truth is that godliness is revealed in the world, meaning to say, that finite part of God that is clothed in creation, that engages in creation, is so finite and so close to the created being, it is so revealed in the created being, that the creation comes to believe that what it has is of itself. It's almost as if a teacher who teaches a subject and explains it so clearly that afterwards you don't remember that you heard it from a teacher, it seems as if you always knew it, because it is so obvious and it's so logical and it's so true that after a while you come to think that it was your own idea. Or a talented teacher who actually makes you think that it was your idea, leads you to the conclusion so that you think that it was your idea. So on the one hand, the student will walk away and say, I don't know of any teacher. Nobody ever told me anything. I know what I know by myself. And in that sense, God is concealed in creation. The concealment being that the created being that lives and thrives on the godliness that is given to it doesn't recognize that what it has was given. He believes that it's his own, that it is natural, that it comes from himself. What is the godliness then? First of all, the very fact of existence. So that even a stone, its existence is an expression of godliness. Because God is. And that beingness, God shares with a stone. So the fact that a stone exists is an obvious influence from God, an expression of God. And that is felt by the stone, it is experienced by the stone. The stone is defined by it. It's what makes the stone what it is. The concealment is that the stone doesn't know that its existence is not its own. and then the growth of the vegetable and the life of the animal and the intelligence of the human being, these are all expressions of godliness, of life, of existence. And yet, because it is so finite and because it is so close to the creation assumes mistakenly that it is its own. So the concealment of godliness is not for a lack of revelation. The concealment, ironically, is from the abundance of revelation. Because God reveals himself so thoroughly to the created being becomes unaware that it is being created. So the finite light, the finite godliness which God gives to creation, is what makes creation what it is. The infinite light, the surrounding light, the Eir HaSeiv, the infinite light, affects creation in spite of what it is. It doesn't make it what it is, but affects it in spite of what it is. In other words, it is that light that causes the godliness that causes a bittul in creation. Like the expression in the Gemara, Afal Gav De'iu Lechazi, Mazlayu Chazi, that a person can be terrified because of a closeness, a revelation of godliness, although he doesn't see the revelation. So he doesn't know what it is that's frightening him. So afagav de'il loichazi, he doesn't see the godliness. It's a godliness that doesn't make him what he is, doesn't define him. It's not the properties of the created being. It goes against the properties of the created being. He is terrified without knowing what is frightening him. And that's the bittul that comes from the infinite light that surrounds the world and affects the world precisely because it is far and distant. Again, like a teacher who delivers a lesson that is so much above and beyond the student's comprehension that the student doesn't even know what he was taught. And yet, he is in awe of the wisdom. He doesn't know what the wisdom is, but he is humbled by the distance between himself and the teacher. So the finite light is clothed within the world. Clothed within the world means it becomes the properties of the created being, so that the created being begins to believe that it's its own. The infinite light also affects the world, but it affects it precisely because it is distant. And the effect is that it causes a humility and a bittul in creation. Ein hapirush seiviv umakif melmayla bebechinas mokim chas v'shalim. When we say that the infinite light, the surrounding light, surrounds the world from above, we don't mean above outside the world. Ki leishayich klal bechinas mokim beruchnis. Because with God, you can't talk about space at all. To say that godliness exists only outside of the finite world, only in the infinite realm. Because then you're giving God a space, a place. You're saying that he belongs there and not here. And that can't be. So although we're saying that the infinite light is above the world, what we don't mean above in space, we don't mean that he's outside the world. We mean that he affects the world without becoming the properties of the world. Ella reitzalema. What do we mean from above? Seiviv umakif milmaila leinyan bechinas gili hashpa. Where the statement that the infinite light surrounds the world, the creation, and influences it from above, above means not in a state of revelation. That its influence is not revealed. Although it is influencing the world, but what it is that is influencing the world is not revealed. And this is the second kind, the second form of tzimtzum. The first is that God gives, and it becomes so much a part of us that we no longer recognize that we're getting anything. We take it for granted. The other form of tzimtzum is that the world, being finite, is incapable of receiving an infinite light, so the infinite light is withheld. But withheld doesn't mean that God remains elsewhere. The infinite light is as present in the finite world as it is in the infinite places, Only in the finite world, it influences the world from above, meaning without revelation. So although it's here, it is not clothed within the creation. Ki ha-hashpo shehi bebechinas gili be'elameis nikras b'shem halbosha. The opposite of milmaila, giving life from above, the opposite of from above is halbosha, from within. Because that light that gives life to the world and is revealed to the world, that's called halbosha, clothed. Shemislabeshes be'elameis, because it is clothed within the world. It becomes the world's properties. It defines the world. It becomes the law of nature. Why is it called clothed? Because that creation which receives this light apprehends it. He experiences it. It is his experience. It is his properties. So the stone, for example, has its existence. That's what it experiences. That's what defines it. That's what is the property of a stone. And so on throughout creation. Whereas that influence which God has on creation, that does not clothe itself within the created being. It is not revealed to the being. The being does not apprehend it. Rather, it is concealed and hidden. The ein ha'elameis masigim esa, so that the world does not experience it, does not apprehend it. Ein no nikras mislabeshes, so this is not called clothed within the world, ela makefes v'sezeves, but rather encircling and encompassing. Hilkach mi'ach ha'elameis, hein bebechinas gvul v'tachlis, and that's why, since the worlds are finite, creation is finite, nimtzo she'ein hashpoas eirin seif mislabeshes u'misgale bohem bebechinas gili. So this infinite light cannot be clothed and revealed within them in a revealed state. Rak ma'at mize'eir ha'ora mu'etes mitzumtzemes ma'eid ma'eid. Rather, a very finite, limited ray that is extremely constricted is revealed, enclosed into the world. And the only reason for this restriction is so that the world that is finite and limited can exist. But the main light, which is not so restricted, is called encompassing and encircling. Since the influence that it has is not experienced within the created being, he doesn't experience it as part of his existence, rather in spite of his existence. So there is an influence of infinity in the finite being in spite of his finiteness. And that's called milmaila. It is an influence in the finite world from an infinite source, an infinite influence on a finite world. But not that milmaila means that the infinite light remains in heaven, in spiritual things, while the limited finite godliness is present within the physical thing. The infinite God, infinite light, is present everywhere, in all places equally. Only the finite being doesn't perceive it and doesn't experience it as part of himself. Therefore, he doesn't really relate to it. He doesn't really understand it. So it is called above. It is called a light that transcends, that is milmaila from the created being's perception, from the created being's apprehension, but it is equally present in all places. In the Hayem Yem for the 13th of Iyar, the Rebbe writes, B'mincha, Eimim Tachnam. Rabbeinu HaZokin, B'eisam HaShonim, Shehoi Eimim Maimorim Ktzorim, the Alter Rebbe, in those years, when he would say very brief Maimorim, Omar, he once said the following Maimon, Da Malamaylo Mimcho, which means simply, know that which is above you. The Alter Rebbe explained, Dar ki kol ma sheyesh lemaila bepartzufim usviris or yenais, know that all that is above in the heavenly spheres, hakel hu mimcha, whatever happens up there, the combination of divine attributes and so on, it all comes from you. Shetoli ba'avedas ha'adam, because it all depends on the aveda of the human being.